Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose coming we look forward to each day, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We read from chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. The next day, John, and this is John the Baptist here, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'The one coming after me outranks me because he existed before me.' I myself did not know who he was, but I came baptizing with water so that he would be revealed to Israel." John also testified, "I saw the Spirit descend like a dove from heaven and remain on him. I myself did not recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this myself and have testified that this is the Son of God." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Our eyes are pretty amazing creations. Would you agree? I think if I had to choose one of my senses I would least like to lose, it would probably be my sight. One could argue that they are the most amazing part of our body. Think of the amazing things that we can see with our eyes, the vibrant colors. Think of how dim it would be if we couldn't see our Christmas decorations that we just put up last Sunday. Think of the landscapes and the nature scenes we can see and observe with our eyes. Think of the amazing and incredible things we can see that are beyond what our eyes can see. Things that are too small for the naked eye, but that we can see with instruments like microscopes. Or the things we can see way out in space beyond what we can see with our naked eyes, with telescopes. See the planets, the stars, and the amazing galaxies that God has created. When we see something amazing, what do we usually do? We usually get excited. We usually say something like, "Look! Stop, look, and listen." That is the theme for our worship services during this Advent season. And last week, we were focusing on the words of the prophet Isaiah that told us to stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good. Those words are a reminder that the Advent season is also a season of repentance. A time to remember that God desires that we stop the sins that we are committing. Turn from our sins and turn to Jesus. Stop to examine our thoughts, our words, and our actions, and focus on Jesus who washed away our sins, washed our sin-stained souls as white as snow, as Isaiah told us last week. Well, today we will look at ourselves through God's Word. When we look at ourselves in the light of God's Word, what we see often isn't very pretty. It does the opposite of get us excited. When we look at ourselves through the mirror of God's holy law, His Ten Commandments, what we very clearly see is our sins. We see how far that we've fallen. We see that we haven't always done the things that God has told us to do, the things that God expects of us, not in our actions, not in our words, and certainly not in our thoughts. The law reminds us and all human beings just how far we have fallen from perfection at the original creation. It reminds us that we are all too often selfish, self-centered, sinful people that do way too much looking at ourselves, looking into ourselves, and not looking outward to the interests and the needs of others. The Holy Spirit uses the law to expose any notions that we might have that we're really not all that bad. Well, compared to other people, we're not that bad. God does not compare us to other people. He compares us to the holy standard of His perfect law. When we look at the law, we are removed of any notions of us being somehow okay spiritually or being good in and of ourselves or by ourselves. Now the problem is when we become aware of our sinfulness, so we sometimes look in one of three wrong directions. So the law brings us to an awareness of our law, but we can take three wrong turns from there. First, when we're confronted with our sins and how offensive they are to our God, we can just simply stay there and look at our sins and dwell on them. When that happens, it's easy to fall into hopelessness, be overwhelmed by our sins, think only of them, and think there's no way that God can forgive me, especially since I keep doing these things over and over again. Second, when we are confronted with our sinfulness, when we are tempted, then we may be tempted to look for hope in other places that are not directed by God. For example, we might tend to look again at the law. Look at the law that convicted us of our sins in the first place and think, maybe if I just try harder, maybe I can find my hope and my comfort there. I will just work harder. Maybe if I do enough, God will overlook my sins. Or if I do enough, maybe I'll be able to work off my sins and He'll be happy with me. Some even go so far as to look to other religions, look to other gods or other types of spirituality that really have no power to remove our sins or save our souls. The third wrong direction is just flat out denial. Sometimes we look at our hearts, look at the sin of our hearts, and we can just blind ourselves and just reject God's law or ignore it altogether. Yeah, I hear what God says, but I don't believe it. I'm not going to make it bother me. I'm not going to let it bother me. We look then to ourselves. What do I think? I think this is not true, so I'm going to do whatever I please. I decide that I know better. Or maybe we try and distort or spin what we've done or not done into some positive light so that we can justify or excuse our behavior. When we face the reality of our sinfulness, God does not want us to dwell on and look only at our sins. He certainly does not want us to dwell on or look for hope in the law. Not to other gods, not to look within ourselves, we won't find the answers in any of those places. There is no hope. There is no joy or salvation in the law. The law is the thing that makes us aware of our sins. And while God does not want us to deny our sinfulness, He also calls on us to look somewhere else apart from the law. He calls us to look to Jesus alone for forgiveness and salvation. And in our text, we see John the Baptist point us where we are to look, which is our theme for today. He exclaims, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I'm guessing John was pretty excited when he saw Jesus. I'm guessing he was pretty excited to point this out to other people who were around him. Because John, like so many others, had been waiting for this, looking for this, for a very long time. Looking for the coming of the one who had been promised by God to be the sacrificial lamb that all those Old Testament sacrifices were a picture of, were a symbol of, and had been for centuries. The one whom the prophet Isaiah wrote would come into this world, would be oppressed, afflicted, and killed, taking on himself the punishment, the sins that were actually ours. But how did John know? How did John know he wasn't saying to look and pointing at the wrong person? How did God know this was the one? That this was the anointed one, the Christ chosen by God to be the Savior? Well, God had told John what to look for. When John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, what he saw and what he heard was proof that Jesus was the one chosen by God to be the Savior of the world. John, who was an eyewitness to these things then, tells us to look. Look to Jesus. We read again in our sermon text, verses 32 through 34. John also testified, I saw the Spirit descend like a dove from heaven and remain on him. Again, referring to Jesus' baptism. I myself did not recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." I saw this myself, and I have testified that this is the Son of God. As the Son of God, as true God and true man, Jesus has accomplished for us what we, because of our sinfulness, could never do. As the Lamb of God, he has given us the cleansing forgiveness that we need. By his perfect obedience to God's law and his innocent death, Jesus has taken away the sins of the world, just like John said. Your sins, my sins, all sins. God the Holy Spirit opens our eyes then to look and to see all that Jesus has done and brings us out of our spiritual blindness, out of our spiritual darkness and deadness that we were born with, and brings us to the light and life of salvation. Not by giving us corrective lenses or a microscope or a telescope, but through his word. In his word, the Holy Spirit brings Jesus into focus, enables us to look to Christ as the Lamb of God who not only takes away the sins of the world, but also takes away your sins. Takes away my sins. The punishment that we deserve because of our sins, he has taken away completely. And he opens our minds and our hearts and our eyes to see the truth of what he says in his word. Certainly the truth about our sinfulness and our desperate situation and how he would have us live our lives according to his law. But also the truth that we need to look only to Jesus for forgiveness, for eternal life, and salvation. Listen to John the Baptist. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Look, the writer of Hebrews also tells us, "Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author of our faith and the one who brings it to its goal. In view of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God's throne." Hebrews 12, verse 2. Yes, let us look to Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And thanks be to God that because of Jesus, we may also look forward to eternal life in heaven. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.